Right. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Ryan Yee, and I serve as one of the members here at Granite City Church. And more recently, I was lucky enough to be one of the volunteers for this past week's summer kids camp. And it was a lot of fun. I was exhausted, but really, really loved it. First off, I want to say welcome. We are really honored and filled with gratitude that each and every one of you came to church today, because the truth is, you could have slept in a little bit longer, right? You could have lingered over the news or watched another show, episode of Bluey or something like that, right? Or you could have gone out to breakfast, but you came here today. Maybe you came today just to learn and explore about God, and if there is a God, and if there's a God, which God is it? And maybe it's this guy named Jesus Christ. Or maybe you came out because that's what you normally do on a Sunday. You needed that refreshing time of worship to remember who you are, what you're made for, and what true reality looks like. Or maybe you're here because you're in pain, and you're looking for something or someone to help you give answers, to give you some more healing. Whatever brought you here today, you made a choice, and that choice is one that I believe God will honor, and I pray that today you will find more of what you're hoping today at Granite City. Now today we're looking at the story of this prophet from the Bible named Jonah. Now most of you guys know maybe the story of Jonah. He's really best known about Jonah and the whale, Jonah and this large fish that kind of ate up and took Jonah. And so we're going to explore, why did this happen? How did this happen? And more importantly, why does it matter for us today? You know, when I was a little boy, a long time ago, I remember this one time, I was just so mad at my mom and dad, just so mad. I don't remember why, but I was so mad. Maybe I didn't get dessert, or my brothers. I have two younger brothers, and I always got disciplined more, so I was mad at my mom and dad. I don't remember exactly why, but I was angry, okay? I was angry, and I was filled with a righteous indignation, you know, and I decided that I need to do something about this, and I bet it was something that many of you decided to do when faced with the injustice and unfairness of our parental units. I decided to run away. I put together a small gathering of some snack packs and some Ritz crackers and some juice boxes. I packed them in a small blanket, put a stick through it like I saw in the old cartoons, you know. I looked back at my family and I said, goodbye, as I wiped a tear from my eye. And I then proceeded to go to the bathroom, open the closet door, close this door behind me, and I was gone forever. I said, goodbye, cruel world. Again, maybe you've done something like this when you were a child, but I bet all of us have thought about running away at some point in our lives. Maybe it was running away from a relationship that was more harmful than helpful. Maybe wanting to run away from the stress of being a new mom or a new dad. Maybe it was running away from applying for a new job or new career, but you were just worried about that rejection. So why apply? I'm not going to try to apply at all. Maybe it was running away from your financial burdens. This debt keeps racking up, and you know you didn't want to deal with it, so you kept racking up that debt. Or maybe a friend of yours hurt your feelings at school. They said something terrible or mean, and you just wanted to run away. Or maybe you have, or maybe even today, you want to run away from God. Well, guess what? You're not alone, because that's who Jonah is, and that's exactly why he's running away as well. So we're thrown into the middle of the story. Jonah, chapter 1, God says, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. First, here is what Nineveh might have looked like. It's a capital of Assyria. Oh, that's the map. But you can see here that Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire at this time. It was the superpower, military-wise, politically, and its reputation was of a cruel, vicious, and brutal society. You could say that if there were people who deserved God's punishment, God's judgment, it was the people of Nineveh. So Jonah hears what God tells him. What you think about it, it's pretty cool, actually, right? How many of us would love to hear God say something so specifically and directly for us to do? And so he hears this, and Jonah thinks about it, and he does, well, do you know what he does? He goes the exact opposite way, as you can see on this map. He goes down to Joppa, which is a port city. Jordy and I have been there. Beautiful place, beautiful, majestic. And he's going to a city called Tarsus. And you can see here, it's known as kind of the end of the world. It's in modern-day Spain. Beautiful weather, beautiful food, amazing food, right? Because he really wants to get away from this, the evil empire and the evil people of Nineveh. You know, today I want to share 4 points about this story that I hope will be encouraging and helpful for your spiritual journey. First, whenever you're fleeing from God, no matter where you're going, if it might seem to be better, you're always going the wrong way. For Jonah, he aimed himself toward peaceful and gorgeous weather of Tarsus. Now, Tarsus sounds way better than Nineveh. I think for all of us, that's obvious. So Jonah goes on a boat to flee from God, as we read. Jonah 1:4 says, "The Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up." Notice here that God is the one who sends a great wind on the sea. What if I told you that God is actively involved in Jonah's life, and that even now, He is active in each of yours? I mean, you might be thinking, Ryan, why did God send the storm? Why not a nice green neon light sign saying, Jonah, you're going the wrong way, my gentle little angel? It's so interesting how we think and believe we're so teachable and we're so wise that of course we would listen to God. Of course we'd stop doing this destructive behavior or this dark pattern of thinking without receiving a more difficult message. I mean, this is against our human nature. Even as kids, we want to do what we want to do because we think what we want is always right. But sadly, whether as kids or as adults, we are often so very wrong. And so God, because God is loving, because He wants us to get back on the right path, He will sometimes send us a storm. Why? Because like Jonah, we're fast asleep, happy as a clam, no worries. Okay, maybe worries, distracted, over busy with work, kids games, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, career. Like the meme says, everything is fine. Everything is fine. But we read this, and so we read, but Jonah had gone down below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep, deep sleep. That's how he knew how peaceful and assured he knew about what he was doing. And this goes to point number two about our story. When you're fleeing from God, others will always be affected. We read, the captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so we'll not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who's responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? Where is your country? What people? From what people are you?" You know, America is a very individualist-focused country. Even if your past ancestors came from a different culture, one of the few values that really makes America, America, is this importance of the individual, the individual. And this concept has led to some really great things as some of our forefathers and foremothers came here, traveled on maybe tiny little boats or maybe traveled on a plane, and they said goodbye to their community, goodbye to their culture, goodbye to their language, and went to this strange new place, hoping to make their own path for them and their future generations. For American Christianity, it's created an even more emphasis on the individual to choose his or her faith, meaning that one isn't a Christian because you were born into it, but because each person decides to follow Jesus. At the same time, it's caused other problems when we view the Bible, because when we look through the Bible through our Western American lens, we see stories through an individualist lens. And most often, we try to personalize the story. And sometimes that can be helpful, but all the Bible is not from Europe, okay? It's not from the West. It's Middle Eastern. It's community-based. It's family-based. It's clan-based. It's culture. And why this is important is because we often still think our choices are our choices, which is true, but we forget that our choices can affect others around us all the time. And so we see here, Jonah makes a choice to flee from God, but his choice has affected every single person on this boat to Tarsus. And his choice has created tremendous harm and stress that they're all, for all these sailors, because they're all thinking they're all going to die. Has there been a time that you've run away from God? Something maybe that was too hard or too difficult to follow? If you think about your decision to run away, maybe you were fine with that decision, you slept so peacefully like Jonah, but what about the people around you? Did they sleep soundly too? Or were they filled with anxiety and fear? Were they crying out for help as your decisions to live the way you want to live your life caused so much pain for others, maybe even for those whom you'd call your loved ones? As we continue in the story, Jonah shares, and he says, "I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to make this sea calm down for us?" The sailors now know that all this trouble is because of Jonah. So Jonah, what should we do? Jonah says this, "Pick me up, throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that's my fault that this great storm has come upon you." But the men are good men. They didn't want to do that. They didn't want to kill him. So they tried to row back to land, but they couldn't do that. The storm gets wilder and wilder. We read, "Then they cried out to the Lord, 'Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you please.'" They took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. Jonah had fled from God. He had brought all this trouble and all these poor sailors, and he realized that the only way to truly flee from God was to give up his life to save and rescue these sailors. What I find really interesting at this point in the story is that this is the first time that anyone has prayed to God. Jonah hasn't prayed to God at any point, but it's these non-Jewish, non-Christian sailors who have realized their mortality and asked for mercy to God. They greatly feared and respected God, as verse 16 writes, "At this the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him." These men not just tried to appease God and beg for God's mercy, but in fact came to worship God, worship the true God of the universe. But notice, who has not prayed to God, who has not feared God, who has not worshiped God, this man running away named Jonah. He's a stubborn one, isn't he? Now, this leads to the third point I'd like for you to consider. Number three, when we're fleeing from God, when we're drowning in the darkness and the foolishness of our thoughts and actions, sometimes God, can only rescue us by bringing us to an even more difficult place or experience than before. I want to say that again. Sometimes God can only rescue us by bringing us to an even more difficult place or experience than before. Now, this might be really hard to hear right now, but remember what we spoke about, human nature. You know, recently I got to know someone at work. He started coming to this Bible reflection study I do. And I was curious to see what brought him to this study and what was God was doing in his life. And he started to share that he had an addiction to alcohol for years and years. Again, maybe you know someone like that, a friend, a family member. And he was sharing that he used it to run away from his problems. He used it to deal with his stress. He used it to fit in, be more likable in social situations. And often he'd drink till he blacked out. He shared that people really liked him and loved him. He had all these fun and crazy stories about him, but he could never remember what actually happened because every time he blacked out. He lost his marriage, and he started realizing he really needed some help. A friend of his sent him an Alcoholics Anonymous 12-step book, and he started going to AA, and he really resonated with the spiritual tenets of it. It's a very spiritual place. He grew up Catholic, but he wanted to find more about Jesus, and hence he started coming to the study. He goes to AA 2 or 3 times a week to be seen, to be heard, and hear other people's stories, and especially on their road to recovery. And he considers himself actually very lucky. He considers himself very lucky because he says when he goes to those meetings, he hears stories of what other people went through in order for them to change their lives. They share about how they get a DUI and really seriously hurt another person. Or they share how they were fired from their job in an embarrassing way. Or he shares that people talk about how they lost their entire family, their children, because of their drinking. Years and years of pain they had inflicted on themselves and on their most loved ones. And finally, only when they hit what they call rock bottom, did they realize they needed to change their lives. What do you think Jonah was thinking when he was thrown overboard? We can't be 100% sure. We're not mind readers. But remember, it was Jonah's idea to be thrown overboard. This is how much he did not want to follow God and how much he did not want to go to Nineveh. And so as he's starting to stay afloat in this terrible storm in the sea, knowing he had only minutes to live, we read, "Now the Lord provided," I like that word, provided, right? "Provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Have you ever been stuck in the belly of a fish? I don't think anyone here has. But let me ask you, have you ever been stuck in something like the belly of a fish? A place that is cold and dark, you can't escape, you're surrounded by slime, filth, you're constantly anxious, wondering what's going to happen next. You're only left with your thoughts that consume you more and more, minute by minute. Maybe you've been to a place like this, whether it was dealing with the aftermath of a terrible family tragedy or a terrible fight with your mom, your dad, your child, or your spouse. Maybe it's losing your dream job and wondering what you're going to do next, or more depressingly, who am I? Maybe it's being stuck in a prison of unforgiveness and hatred. Or even worse, hating people that you don't even really know. Whether it's this race or that race, Democrat, Republican, vegan, carnivore. You just hate them. And you can't ever or won't ever forgive them. Maybe you were in a prison like that. Or maybe you're in one right now, wondering, what did I do to deserve this? How did this happen to me? And most specifically, where are you, God? Where are you, God? You said you love me, but this person has rejected me. You said you love me, but I can't have kids. You said you love me, and I'm still trying to find someone to marry. You said you love me, and I'm just so busy. I'm so exhausted by what my kids want, what my work wants. I'm just so exhausted. You said you love me, but my life seems worse and worse. May I offer that perhaps you're in a terrible place, not primarily because of the mistakes you made, but you're in a terrible place of pain or existential spiritual emptiness because God is actually trying to save you. That God is actually trying to rescue you. Jonah's story is our story. It's a human story. We want to do things our own way. We know better. And so we run away from God. Maybe, again, you don't even know that God existed. But I bet there were times when God started reaching out to you through a friend, through nature, through music, through the birth of a child. And you told yourself that God or seeing who God is isn't that important. Or if you do know God, you continually run away from God, whether it's related to your dreams, related to your addictions, or related to some pain or trauma you just don't want God to get involved with. You know, for Jonah, can I ask you guys, how many, again, it says, how many days and nights was Jonah in the fish? How many days?
Three, right.
3 days and three nights. If I was in the belly of a disgusting fish, it would take me 3 minutes to be like, God, I'm sorry, let me out. Save me, please, rescue me, God. But good old Jonah, a prophet of God whom God so loved and so clearly spoke to, it took him 3 days, three nights, 72 hours, 4,320 minutes in the belly of a whale to finally unclench his fists and clench the anger of his heart and finally stop running away and turn toward God. We call that beautiful moment repentance. Worship team, come on up. You know, as I shared earlier, I'm not sure what brought you to church today, whether hope, curiosity, repetition, worship. I can tell you the message I hope you hear today from Jonah chapter 1, the message you hear from me today through the music that we sing, through the gathering of all these people, is that the good news of Jesus Christ. And the fourth and final point of Jonah 1 is this. No matter how far you've run away or how long you've run away from God, no matter what you've done, no matter who you've hurt, and even no matter what you will do, God can and will always save and rescue you. You see, we've been taken. All right, we've been taken by sin and selfishness, and we brought so much pain and destruction in this world to our relationships, to ourselves, to our own bodies. Because of that, Jesus, he left the comforts of the heaven, the love and fellowship of the Father, the unity with the Holy Spirit, and became a little baby boy born under scandalous circumstances, born in an animal water trough, surrounded by stinky animals, witnessed by uneducated and unimpressive shepherds to rescue and save all of mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is why when the religious leaders during Jesus' time didn't believe what Jesus was saying about himself. So they said, show us a sign. Prove to us who you are. And Jesus says this, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish. So the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That in order for the world and humanity, for each of you sitting in this, in your seat today, in this building, in order to be saved, in order to be rescued, to become free and forgiven, full of love and peace, and to help serve and rescue others, Jesus had to go into the belly, into the darkness, into death, not because of his rebellion, not because he was running away from God, but because of ours. And in that sacrifice, death could not hold him. And he came to life again, inviting us to have life again too. Every single time, whether this is your first time or a 500th time, he invites us to new life again and again. And the only thing we can do is to choose. Do we keep running away? Or do we stop? Turn around and say, God, I'm going the wrong way. Please, will you help me? Please, will you help me? Let's pray right now. I'm going to give you just a moment right now. I don't know what God is speaking to you right now. Maybe you're resisting a pull in your heart. Again, wherever you might be in your spiritual walk. But what is God saying to you? And more importantly, what do you want to say to God right now? I'm going to give you a moment right now. Just what do you want to say to God? Lord, we come before you. We're all Jonahs, God. Whether it's our first time here, or again, like I said, 5,000th time, we're always finding ways to flee from you, God. And so, Lord, help us to realize we're running away the wrong way. Help us to realize we're hurting those around us. We're hurting ourselves. Help us to realize that what we're going through, the struggle that we might be going through, that you're with us. You're in the belly of the whale with us right now, in our sorrows, in our pains, whether it's now or in the future. But you say you're going to give us new life because you have shown us that death and pain cannot conquer you. And if we follow you, it cannot conquer us. Lord, may you bless every single person here in their journey to knowing you more, themselves more, and to be agents of power and love and of your grace. Lord, may you bless everyone here. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to invite Pastor Cindy. Where are you? Come on up. So, how many years ago? 10 years ago? Yeah, you come on up. Pastor Cindy and her beautiful family showed up here, and she immediately jumped in, and she was, you know, seminary trained and on a track for ordination, and she fell in love with our church, which it means so. That's such an honor to me and to the many people who helped start this church, who, many of whom are around the globe right now. But you stepped in and you took over leadership in our Kids Rock ministry, and you just kept taking on more until you were a pastor at this church, and she was ordained in our denomination, the Evangelical Covenant Church, and you have been such a blessing to me and to our church. And so God's calling you to something new, and Cindy's been doing chaplaincy work, and we just, in a moment, we want to bless you, but is there anything that you'd like to share with us about, you know, what's next for you, or what we can expect, or anything? And then I want to pray for you.
Okay. Not really. Except that we have no plans to leave. I will take a season away, mostly to just sort out what is in my heart and what God has been saying and doing. But I really just want to say thank you to each and every one of you. It's been a real joy to journey with you to God. And I love the message, Pastor Ryan. Pastor Ryan was the associate pastor when we started here. So it's wonderful to hear him preaching so powerfully the word of God. But I just feel like, you know, I just want to be with people who are going to make me head to Nineveh, right? I just want to be with a group of people who are going to keep me going on that road to where God is calling me. And I expect that we'll be right there together, right? So that, yeah, we don't plan to leave. So you'll see us. In fact, you'll see us in August. So don't be thrown off. Yeah.
That speaks so much. Yeah. I hope you guys know how rare that is, that Pastor Ryan, who preached for us this morning, is still here in our community, and Cindy is making no plans to go anywhere. That's rare. That doesn't happen very often. That speaks volumes about who all of you are, that she wants to stick around here. But get yourself some space, too, okay? All right? Don't go, like, bugging her for pastoral stuff, like, okay? All right? Today is your last Sunday as a hired pastor at this church, And I just can't say how grateful we are to you for everything. She helped start the Hoedown, started our deacons ministry, the care team. So many initiatives in this church were birthed out of just the beautiful mind and gifts that God has given you. So thank you for sharing that with us. We have a gift for you. You don't have to open it now, but you can later. At some point, I want to see you open it, but not right now. It's a nifty gifty. It's for you. I lightly rib Cindy because she's so good at gifts and wrapping, and I apologize. I wrapped this. But we just want to pray for you, and I won't say send you because you're not going to go anywhere, but you certainly are going to transition, and then there's one more thing that we want to do for you after that. But Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that you're present in the life of your daughter, Pastor Cindy, God, and just the ways you've ordered her steps, the beautiful testimony of her life and coming to know you and just having utter joy, just your spirit enlivening her, and that translating from person to person, people seeing it, visibly seeing it in her countenance, that you're dwelling in her life. What a gift. What a gift she has been to us. And God, so in this season of transition, we pray that you would be with us. God, help us, lead us to whatever's next. But we also pray that you would be with Pastor Cindy. God, that you would equip her, that you would use her in whatever season is next. God, you're not done with her, and so you've got work for her. And so we pray that you would bless her, anoint her to the task. God, we love you, and we love that you send us amazing people, and we are so grateful for her. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.